Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast, featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Hell. We are the perfect blend of Saints sincerity and stupidity.
How many RPMs would it take for the Juliocopter to actually fly away, and how many fumbles would happen as a result?
Well, that's a trick question, because you can only fumble once.
If you're not having fun when your team is 11-2 and winning back-to-back division titles for the first time in 50 years, then you need to stop watching.
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast. We are live on a special Sunday night edition because we have commitments on Monday, so we're going a day early. Thanks to everybody who's in the chat room, if anybody is indeed in the chat room at all.
Send out that link. Let me see that link.
Dave, before we get to the Saints-Vikings game and the recap and all the fun, if people need and have a strong desire to gamble on preseason NFL football, which who doesn't? I mean, we all want to. Where should they go?
Yeah, well, I mean, since Ralph started the show, Ralph gets asked, he gets all sorts of questions about who to bet on and who to bet with. And he doesn't always know who's going to win, but he does know where to go when he wants to bet. And the answer is MyBookie. Between their live in-game betting, endless props, and fantasy sports wagers, there's something for everyone. With the best player perks in the sportsbook business, they've been good to us, and we know they'll be good to you. Right now, they're hooking our listeners up all month. Visit mybookie.ag and use the promo code HAPPY25 when creating your account to claim your 50% bonus. Laying down $100, you've now got $50 in play. That's mybookie.ag, promo code HAPPY25. You play, you win, you get paid. I had a couple of errors there. I'm gonna admit it right there.
You know, that's a little slower than you normally read it.
Am I slurring?
If I read it like that, people would be giving me standing ovations and wanting to give me Oscars.
I know. It's like the Drew Brees Bridgewater debate.
What a perfect segue.
Dave just threw for like 250 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception, you know? Like his quarterback rating was only 98.0 on that one.
Yeah.
We'll get to Bridgewater in a second. But first, Dave, I know in the pre-show you were just gloating like a son of a bitch because your UDFA son, Little Jordan Humphreys, had himself
Jordan.
A ball game.
Little Jordan. Yeah, he was lighting it up just a little bit on Friday night, right? Am I right? A little bit for Little Jordan. I want to make sure I get all my little puns in there.
Little Jordan is literally so good, other receivers are quitting the team.
That's right.
Rashard Matthews is like, no, he's just so good. I'm quitting. Like that's how good he looked.
Real quick, I just want to call
he's
out
like,
all
fuck
the
that,
people.
I'm out of here.
I want to call out all the people that fought with me on Twitter saying that Rashard Matthews was going to catch 50 balls this year for the Saints and that he was going to start. And that this was after like one practice, not in pads, where he was signed and looked pretty good. And I just want to call out, like, sometimes this is why when you sign an aging receiver that hasn't been good in a while, maybe wait a couple preseason games before you start, you know,
it's like
elevating them.
Crazy pills.
Yeah, that was quite a spirited debate about. I mean, people were pumped about him. He looked good in a mini camp, one mini camp practice, and they're like,
he had already caught 50 balls. Well, already catching 4 passes for 82 yards and a touchdown in the playoffs.
Speaking of spirited debates, I fought with people literally from halftime all the way until I went to bed yesterday on Twitter, and I posted my Channel 4 column, just posted tonight, Teddy Bridgewater is the fucking Saints quarterback post Breeze, whether you people like it or not. And Saints Twitter is, Dave, I knew we were spoiled rotten over Drew Brees, having him for 13 years going in 14. I knew we were spoiled rotten watching quarterbacking. I knew it. But to see it so stark on Friday, where people are like, Bridgewater, he's not that good. We need to look other way. Like, what the fuck do people want and expect post Brees? Like,
I'm gonna ask an uncomfortable question. But you know, like, it's like, if he was white,
I knew you were gonna go there.
just living through Aaron Brooks,
it's possible.
Seeing the hatred that he got, some of it deserved because of the smiling, but right. I definitely think there are racial undertones, and like, I just wonder if like your average Saints fan just wants a good old white boy at quarterback.
That's a component of it. I wonder if Teddy Bridgewater, if his fun personality will either overcome the racial issues that people will have for him, or his happy, fun attitude, people will be like, he's not serious enough.
First of all, he's got a happy and fun attitude, but that's always been off the field, in the locker room, whatever. Like, I haven't seen that on the field. I haven't seen him off after throwing an interception and, laughing or smiling.
He's not
or whatever.
Doing what is that bicycle thing he does? What's that called again? Chopper style?
Yeah, chopper style.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing that. Okay.
Yeah, so I mean that's one thing. I mean,
not
like,
yet.
Well, fine, but I don't see him. I don't see him doing that. But I don't, you know, I heard the after show that you guys did real quick. And I mean, I'll go out on a limb. Maybe it's not a limb. I don't know. But I will say, I think under the Sean Payton era, I think that was the best preseason game that a non-Drew Brees quarterback has ever had in the Sean Payton era.
Not even close. I mean, I would say, Drew Brees in 2009, he burned the Raiders to the ground in the third preseason game. So Drew Brees has had preseason game where he's looked amazing. The one thing I will say with Teddy Bridgewater that I think you could lean to I'm not sure that it's because he's black or whatever. I do think, Andrew, there's a component of it that fans love newness. They love unused draft picks. They love people that they haven't seen before. They love the mystery crate of intrigue. And Teddy Bridgewater's been around for a while, so he's not, even though he hasn't been around with the Saints, but he's not new.
Ralph, you're taken to tell.
Uh-oh.
Didn't you have a quick fix for the...
How are we now, gentlemen? Are we better?
Better.
That's yes. Much better, yes.
So the one thing I was going to say is...
Edit that out.
Yeah, edit that part out. Can't do it on a live stream. Sorry, guys. The thing that I was going to say is fans like the newness, right? The mystery box, the mystery crate. And even though Bridgewater's new to Saints fans, he has a record in the NFL. I think if the Saints had picked... If the Saints, in a fake world, let's say the Saints had drafted him in the third round last year instead of trading for him. If they had drafted him in the third round last year and he played like this Friday, I think 90% of the fan base would be euphoric. I think it's not just the racial component, Andrew. I think it's the newness. We love the unknown as fans, and it's just why that is. I can't explain it to you, but fans... They would rather take the unknown than the sure thing that's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Drew Brees catches heat sometimes from the fans, you know? So I just think no matter what, I think maybe the spotlight is even more quarterback than any other position. I mean, it's just more scrutinized, and it's maybe rightfully so because – most important position on the field. But Yeah, I mean, it just goes back to, like, what do you want out of your quarterback? If you're going to be dissatisfied from anything worse than Drew Brees, which unfortunately I think is what is staring Bridgewater in the face. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the one I will say is, like, to replace Brees as the quarterback of the Saints has got to be the most daunting, intimidating, and terrifying job ever. And I don't think any rookie quarterback is going to be up for that really. And so I almost prefer that Bridgewater is kind of next in line for this, because I actually think he has the mental makeup to be able to handle it. You know, I think there is all kinds of stress and pressure that comes with succeeding a quarterback like that that most young players probably can't handle.
Okay, but here's my problem. My problem is that Drew Brees gets to play as long as he
wants.
As long as he wants, and as long as he's performing at a high level. And, you know, again, I say this all the time. Tom Brady is a year or 2 years, whatever, older than Drew, and he's still performing at a high level. And Drew had arguably one of his best seasons of his career last year. So there is absolutely no evidence, no proof that he's declining, that he's going to slow down. So I know, as far as his contract is concerned, you know, next year is his last year, and then you've got those voidable years or whatever. But I mean, my thing Drew could have another great year this year, and then you're not going to get rid of him. You gotta hold on to him. You could still have Drew for another 3 years or so. Who knows?
Well, no.
Is Teddy going to wait around that?
I'm going to make the assumption here, and this is a big leap, so I could be wrong, but I
think
one way.
Better be something good. It's probably like
quinoa,
salad, something healthy.
No. Almonds, as Dave calls them.
At least Dave has the decency when he eats on the podcast. He's smashing a bag of Sour Patch Kids and a Jolt fucking cola.
Jolt? They don't even make that anymore.
I was trying to be stealth, but you guys caught me. But no, what I was trying to say was,
I smell my own.
I'm making the assumption that Brees is going to be done one way or another with the Saints this year, and part of the context clue is
I think there is only like a 15% chance that happens. I really
do.
Dave,
really? So you think there's an 85% chance that he plays for the Saints next year?
Yeah, I really, really fucking do.
Andrew, I wrote the column of Channel 4 today, and my thing was, that Bridgewater will be the quarterback if Brees retires and it goes how we want the dream season. The Saints win the Super Bowl and Brees rides off in the sunset. But,
right.
Dave, I was thinking it was like 50-50 he would retire. Then I read all the stories of him at 40 with Larry Holder from The Athletic and different things. He wants all the fucking records, man. He wants them all. And the only way to get the records and keep the records is to outlast Brady. So I've swung 180 degrees back to Dave's view. I don't think he's quitting. I don't think he's quitting even if they win, Andrew. I really don't. I think it's like 25%.
But so
chance.
How could they have talked Bridgewater into staying? How could Sean Payton in good conscience be like, hey, you got to stay here?
Okay, well,
if Brees might be playing 3 months,
I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to stop you right there. Good conscience.
I think the Saints pitch it as Miami's a trash pile. That's the pitch. That was the pitch they made. If they didn't make any guarantees to him, you just say Miami's a trash pile, Teddy. If you go there and you bomb, you'll never be a starter again. Wait 1 year here and see what Drew does. I think that is the pitch they made to him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't think it's settled. I don't think it's settled in Brees' head, but Brees has said, I'm taking it year to year. I'm playing every year as if it's my last. Those are direct quotes.
The only thing that means is, and going back to what I said earlier and my emphatic statements about Brees, there's one caveat, and that's if the Saints win the Super Bowl this year, he retires. Absolutely. I think if they win the Super Bowl, he retires. Yeah, but anything short of winning the Super Bowl, which definitely includes – which I'm worried about is another some sort of disastrous, dramatic, crazy ending in a very important playoff game. I just see that happening again. Anything short of that?
Stop right there. I got a question. So let's say you're correct. Let's say the Saints don't win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Breeze still has it in him. You know, it still has that fire. Still wants to play. Mm-hmm. And the Saints have an.
I don't care about his fire. I don't care about. Let's just be clear. I don't care about his fire or his desire. Peyton Manning had a fire and a desire in the last year of his career, but that doesn't mean anything. I care about how well Drew is slanging the ball.
Well, I gotcha. Yeah. But here's my question. Here's my question. You'd have an expiring deal with him and Bridgewater. You're Mickey Loomis. You've gone through two miserable negotiations with Tom Condon, which at the end he drew a line in the sand and he said, if you don't take this offer, you can go elsewhere. And Breeze signed the deal, but that's how close it came to Breeze leaving the building. And how much chance my question is,
if you're Mickey, do you think that Drew is really gonna go play for another team for 1 year or two?
Peyton Manning did.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I don't know.
How is that situation any different?
Because we're New Orleans, and we just would like the
that
Indianapolis. Listen to me. Okay, listen to me. Indianapolis, they're a little more forgiving, I think, than I think here in New Orleans we will never.
Well, here's the thing.
That would ruin you. All of the stuff.
You know Drew Brees is going to want $30 million, and you know Loomis is not going to pay him that.
Here's the thing, though, with Peyton Manning leaving the Colts. The Colts had Andrew Luck waiting in the wings, and Andrew Luck was a can't miss. Once in a generation quarterback prospect. So they had a soft landing. The interesting thing with Drew Brees, I think, where Dave is trying to get at, and it makes it interesting, Andrew, is let's say Brees plays 11 games, he gets hurt, he misses a month. Bridgewater is phenomenal in those 4 weeks, but the Saints don't win the Super Bowl. If you're the Saints and Drew Brees,
well, that's a whole different scenario than what I was saying.
That's the scenario I think where it gets dicey.
Scenario, you go with Bridgewater. Just the same way that I felt like, I know this is crazy, but I always thought the Eagles should have gone with Foles, and they should have said goodbye to Wentz. I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, you got a guy.
I actually think Wentz is the better quarterback.
He is.
But they got something going with Foles.
Exactly.
You know,
there's something you said about chemistry and all that kind of stuff. And so if you're telling me that Bridgewater is going to come in and play phenomenal and he's going to have that chemistry with the rest of the team, then go with it. Fuck it.
That's a different scenario, though,
than what I was saying.
It could get very, very complicated. And the thing is, Andrew,
Mickey Loomis is going to do what's best for the Saints, period, end of story. So, like, there will be no sentimental Drew send-off. I'm sure there will be. But, like, there's not going to be this, like, oh, well, we've got to fall on the sword because it's what's right for Drew. It's not going to be like that. If Mickey Loomis thinks he can pay Bridgewater a lot less to be better than Breeze next year, if he believes that he's a better option, like if Bridgewater continues to look good in preseason and kind of lights it up the rest of these four games and then doesn't play again, and we get a similar year from Breeze where like he's awesome the first 8 weeks of the season and then towards the second half of the season, you know, he starts to fall off a little bit and his level's not quite as high, and you've got Teddy Bridgewater sitting there. If Breeze goes into Mickey Loomis' office and he says, hey man, get excited, I want to keep playing and I want $25 million this year, he's going to say, I think he would have a hard time deciding on it. I think it would be a very tough decision for Loomis.
Can we get Bridgewater to lose the gloves? Is there any way we can talk about the gloves? Can we have
with you on that? Like, the only thing that bothers me with Bridgewater that just like on a personal level I don't like is the
like they were crazy. doing they were doing the quarterback challenge with Zion and the basketball thing. And so they were all doing the basketball stuff and they were shooting the three pointers or whatever. And then they were transitioning to the football throws or whatever. And they had to like stop tape and edit it so that Teddy could put on his gloves after the basketball stuff. And it's just like, come on, man. Like just, like
it's
this
gotta,
is
it's mental, man. It's his, it's his the thing, club. Man. It's like
both gotta, hands. Why do you even need the glove? On the other hand, you're only throwing with your. It makes no sense to me. Why do you need a glove if you're throwing right-handed and you want the glove on your throwing hand because it gives you some sort of advantage in your mind? What's the purpose of the glove in the left hand? I don't understand.
I don't know, man. I think it's like. It's like telling somebody that they shouldn't put on a shoe, the right shoe first or the left shoe first, or do you wipe standing up or do you wipe sitting down? I mean, it's just one of those things. It's like
I just don't understand. Like if he has to wear those gloves to throw the football, why wasn't he shooting the basketball with gloves? Like why did he have to feel the basketball with the skin of his fingers, but the football doesn't work?
We need a 30 for 30. Teddy Two Gloves. We do.
I can't believe we might be subjecting ourselves to 8 years of a quarterback throwing with gloves.
I mean, seriously though, ask yourself this question: can you name any very successful quarterback in the NFL who threw with gloves? Like, is there anybody who is even notable, even memorable?
That might be the strongest argument against Teddy Bridgewater that I've heard.
Can you name anyone bad that wore gloves?
David, was it? Who was it?
Carr was a trash pile. But yeah, that's the best argument against Teddy Bridgewater anyone's made, and I have ridiculous arguments against him in Twitter. Dave came strong.
Him hard. Drive into the hole.
Anyway, getting back to Bridgewater's performance, we got severely off track. I thought he looked great. I was very disappointed in general.
Michael Thomas fucked him. Michael Thomas fucked Bridgewater. Michael Thomas should have caught that
really
pass.
Did.
You know, you and I, Andrew, we talked because I know you were at the game, and you can't see things as well as you can when it's on TV. But Michael Thomas made a move on that guy in the end zone, and Bridgewater read it right, and he threw it at a spot where only MT was going to be able to get it, and he was right there. He had his hands on it, and he dropped it. That was like a 14-play drive. It would have been a great ending to a great drive. And MT and Thomas blew it. But that was a great throw by Bridgewater. It was a great throw.
It was. And I heard fans complain about how he wasn't taking enough shots downfield and letting it rip. And I thought he did a couple times. I mean, the throw to Cyril Grayson was awesome. And, you know, I mean, if you have a problem with a quarterback checking down, then you obviously haven't been watching Drew Brees for the last 15 years.
I just want in the fourth preseason game, I just want Taysom Hill to throw bombs to Grayson every play against Miami. Yeah. That's all I want. I just want – it's fun. Like, Grayson's fun. It's just verts, baby. I love it.
I don't think Bridgewater looked like an elite quarterback, but, like, my grade for him was a B+. Like I think he had a B+ performance. I think there's
plug
some
the
stuff
grades,
he'll.
By the way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's some stuff he'll want to work on. But yeah, if you there's actually a post that's free, that's a little taste of what you'll get in the regular season. And if you used to read my player grades on Saints Nation, then you know. Anyway, yeah. Thanks to all of you who have signed up for it already. It's for $10 a month. You get access to that, and. I got to give a shout out to Tom, actually, who gave me a shout out today on Twitter. And I realized that his Twitter picture is him in the podcast shirt holding the podcast koozie, holding a drink.
He's coming
that's
for Allie.
His picture
to be
on Twitter. He's like
super
a super
fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's now ahead of like Marin, Monadula, and Allie. Like, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't see you guys with pictures on Twitter of our stuff. I'm just saying.
So, this the rest of this game, besides Bridgewater's performance, the one the thing that I – we'll get to the bad in a minute because they had some things to worry about maybe. But the one thing that I did give me comfort is Dave, Latavius Murray, he didn't look great, but he looked okay. Like he put it this way, he's better than any non-Mark Ingram running back the Saints threw out there last year.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was very happy with what I saw from him. He had at least one like screen pass catch out of the backfield, and there was the one play where, man, he hit the hole and it was open, and one of the defenders just kind of grabbed him by the ankle. And if he hadn't done that, I think Murray was gone, and he knew it, and he was pissed afterwards after he got tackled. Yeah, I like him. He's a big guy. He's tall. He runs kind of tall. I thought he looked good. Your boy Ozigbo looked pretty good.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, come on. So, he was talking about Lil Jordan.
Close.
I mean,
he was this close to scoring, and this whole podcast would have just been me reading love sonnets to him.
Dude, so speaking of Dave, running backs, and his boys, there were a lot of Mark Ingram jerseys in the stadium last night. I was shocked.
Interesting.
I was shocked by how many Mark Ingram jerseys there were. And I was texting with Ralph as I was walking into the stadium, and I'm like, there should be a rule that, like, I don't know. It's one thing if you're playing the Ravens where it's almost like you're trolling him. But, like, I feel like going into the stadium with the Mark Ingram jersey is, like, off limits right now. I don't think you should be allowed to do that. It's like an unwritten rule.
I think it's fine.
It's my throwback jerseys are fine. Like, I saw a Shockey jersey. I mean, those are fine if the player's retired. If the player is active for another team.
That's like a divorce jersey.
Shockey's okay. We're okay
Shockey's
with Shockey.
Right. Here's the thing with Ingram, though.
I do. I kind of miss him.
We talked about it Friday, Dave. I saw him Thursday. They showed shots of Ingram on the sideline. He looked so sad. Like, he cannot. He can say whatever he wants. He's not happy being in Baltimore.
Who's he going to talk to? He's got no friends. And it's going to be cold there soon.
I can confirm.
So that was good. That was the good for the Saints. But they had some issues that were concerning. And, Andrew, I rewatched the game a little bit. And the thing that struck me, two things. And this is the most
No defense was played.
No,
whatsoever.
The most concerning thing to me.
Steve Spagnuolo-esque, if you will.
Patrick, what if Patrick Robinson is washed? Like, Davenport.
He kind of looked like
a second. But if Patrick Robinson
basically, what
washed,
if Patrick Robinson had one good season and it was with the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl, and that was the only time ever in his career
he was good. He was real good on the Chargers. Real good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And I think he had a decent season with the Colts too. He's been good whenever he hasn't played on the Saints.
Oh great. Well, that's a good sign. It's a good sign. Yeah. Really excited about that.
He's the Saints player we'll wish they never brought back. By the way, Andrew, did you manage to get to the Black and Gold store and raid the discount rack? Or did you
not? Not yet. No, but
you don't have five.
The discount jerseys are insane. It's like Jarris Bird, Jimmy Graham, Kenny Stills, like they're all $10.
That all sounds amazing. Wonderful. $50 and you could have really quite the collection. Of Jarris Bird, I would have bought all of them.
I should have.
if I told people in 2 weeks we were giving away a Jarris Bird jersey to somebody when they listen to the live stream, the audience
probably
would
get $100 in donations.
We'd quadruple the people in the live stream.
Well, I'll buy it. So go ahead and say it now.
So 3 weeks we're giving away a Jarris Bird jersey in the live stream. Be here. So, but That's a concern. Are you, and Dave, I'll start with you. Are you more concerned about Patrick Robinson or how awful Davenport looked? Because Davenport looked bad.
Did anyone look good on defense? Did one single guy look good?
Vince Beagle?
Who? I'm sorry. Who?
Vince Beagle is,
I made this joke on the grades that I wrote up too, is that the only play that the defense made was a fumble recovery where they didn't touch the running back or strip the ball. He just dropped it.
Yeah, dude just randomly just, it was like slippery. It was like, it was wrapped in butter, apparently. It was like the most bizarre fumble I've ever seen in my life. No, I mean, look, nobody on the defense played good. So I'm not concerned. I mean, I'm not going to be more concerned about Davenport than I'm going to be concerned about anybody else, like Patrick Robinson or anybody else, or Eli Apple or anybody else on the defense.
At least Eli Apple had good coverage.
Well.
Yeah. No, on that touchdown, he was all over him.
Yeah.
Or it wound up not
being a touchdown. Find the ball, Eli. Jesus.
That was very.
Wait a minute.
That was the most Delvin Bro play ever. Perfect coverage where you somehow still give up a huge pass.
I have a thing. So in the game, they called pass interference on what was it, Butler or whatever?
Webster. Kayvon Webster. Yeah.
So they called pass interference on Kayvon Webster. Peyton throws the flag that he's the reason that he's even allowed to throw that flag now because of the new rule. And I thought, I don't know about Andrew in the dome. I'm assuming it looked the same as it did to me on TV at home. But I mean, Webster was tracking the ball and looking at the ball the entire time. I thought it was a clear no pass interference. And I thought that upon review, that this was the perfect opportunity for the NFL, for the officials to just a little bit, just to, you know, say, you know what, we all know we screwed up, you know, last year with the no call, you know, and they still upheld the call as a pass interference. And I just thought that was just salt on an open wound. And I thought that was totally ridiculous. I thought that was the perfect situation for a turnover of a bad call. I thought the initial call was a bad call, and when you looked at the replay and you look at Webster with his head turned the entire time and looking at the ball, I thought that was a very easy no call or a very easy turning over of that call, and they still couldn't give it to the Saints. I mean, am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong, but the one thing that struck me as interesting, Andrew, and I didn't realize this, but I guess I should have, is Minnesota challenged the Saints play early in the game, and Minnesota had challenged that the Saints had done offensive pass interference, and I didn't realize you could challenge for that, although I guess I should have. Dude, I think that's could be revolutionary, because all these pick plays that these teams run that referees just miss or whatever, that could be not a game changer, but it could be big play that could swing some games.
That was
just like,
that was a terrible challenge, by the way. I mean, Bridgewater got the ball out so fast on that play. I mean, there was no contact. I mean, what they were trying to get him for was blocking ahead on a screen. But I mean, the ball was out of his hands as soon as he snapped it.
Yeah.
So there was no context. So that was a terrible challenge. But you make a good point, which is that, yeah, I think that probably, especially those like pick plays that they never call, like they happen pretty often, especially near the goal line. And that could potentially wipe out touchdowns, and, you know, all scoring plays are reviewable now. So I think now that the pass interference is reviewable, like I think scoring plays might take longer a lot of times on these pick plays that they run near the goal line, because, you know, it's basically you're allowed 1 yard. Of, you know, to get in someone's way. And after 1 yard, like if you're at 2 yards, it's a flag. I just think a lot of times refs aren't throwing that flag. And now I think that'll be part of the scoring review process.
I just think it's bullshit, because I'm really concerned about this whole pass interference challenging and that kind of stuff. Because if if what we saw Friday night with that call, if that wasn't enough to overturn a pass interference call,
what will
be? Yeah, I don't know what will be. And,
totally fair.
It's just the problem is that pass interference is it's so subjective.
A lot of them are judgment calls.
Exactly.
Pass
and so if it comes down to your a judgment call, a 50-50, like I just don't think a lot of refs are going to change their mind.
They had 16 challenges. They had 16 challenges to pass interferences this week in preseason. 14 of them were upheld. So there you go. Mm. That's the point you're making.
And so maybe the point here is to only change the egregious ones.
I think that's what it's going to be. And I think I think the one thing that this will always do, though, is it will always give the referees
the point is let's just clarify what Juge says. I'm sorry for interrupting, Ralph, but let's clarify what Juge says. The point is to clarify the egregious ones being the ones that don't get called, but upon further review
should have been
called.
Like the Tommy Lee Lewis play, yeah.
Exactly. We're not talking about calls that get called and then upon further review maybe because that's going to be harder, and that's the situation that we're talking about with on Friday with the Saints. Like, it's going to be way harder to say, oh, well, you know, maybe that wasn't a pass interference. But it's going to be a lot easier, like in the no call in the NFC Championship.
Well, it's like the Webster play is – yeah, well, the Webster play is a perfect example because I feel like the ref probably watched that. And he's like, yeah, like, I don't think that was pass interference, actually. Like, I probably shouldn't have thrown the flag. But then he's like, but there is a little contact, you know? And so, like, I think he can justify, like, well, there's the contact. There's a little touching right there, pass interference.
I think if they're going over that play, and they are going over that play, because I think that's part of the protocol for NFL referees. But I think if and when they're going over that play after the game, I think that they're saying that – You could let that go. That's a totally fair play, and even if by the letter of the law it's not a fair play by the rule books, it should be a fair play because I think that was a great NFL. I think that was a great freaking play.
I'm gonna go, and you guys are probably laughing at me, but I'm gonna say there will be less than 6 pass interferences that the referees call it pass interference and upon further review are like, nah, it wasn't. Like, I don't think that's going to happen more than 5 times this year. Like, they may look at a play and be like, yeah, we missed that. That guy got mugged. It's a penalty. But if they call it, they're not going to take the flag back and be like, nah, it wasn't. Never.
Unless there's no contact whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, if a receiver were to fall down, trip over himself, you know, and, like, there was no contact.
Maybe.
But, like, I think this play illustrates it well because there was very little contact, but there was some. And I think we all watched that replay and were like, that's not pass interference. But I just don't think the refs are going to overturn the call because they can justify it as pass interference if there's any contact.
You know, I saw an interesting tweet about the Saints wide receiver situation, and I saw Bobby Hebert and Christian Gehrig, not to name drop or call out people, they had Emmanuel Butler ahead of Tre'Quan Smith in the pecking order. They had Emmanuel Butler third. They had Michael Thomas. Right,
you know what? First of all, Emmanuel Butler needs to play in a goddamn game before we're going to put him above fucking Tre'Quan Smith, all right?
I'm just saying.
Poor little Jordan,
exactly. But, I mean, Tre'Quan Smith dropped pat. He didn't look so good Friday, though, so he dropped the ball. So, I mean, is that a thing where –
I mean, Granderson's in jail, and he should be ahead of everyone on the depth chart after that performance on the field. Just by not playing, he moved up ahead of every defensive end on the roster, not Cam Jordan. Maybe even Davenport.
Your love for your adopted UDFA son is limitless. You are not backing down. You are not walking away.
Love knows no bounds.
It is love. It is commitment.
See, it's my kid, man.
And were you secretly happy that the pass rush looked so bad so that you could praise your child?
I will, dude, on a serious note, like every year in preseason, we always get overly giddy and unrealistically excited about some dude that flashes off the edge or gets a little pocket push in the third or fourth quarter. It happens every year where you've got one of the UDFAs that'll get a sack. There was none of that. There was no pass rush.
Remember 2 years ago when they played San Diego and they had 8 sacks and we were losing our fucking minds?
Yeah, like they're going to trade 3 of them for second round picks.
No, we were just like, oh my God, they're going to have a pass rush this year. We were totally convincing ourselves of it. And
it kind of, like, they did a good job getting pressure on that when Dennis Allen dialed in that blitz with the Mario Davis, and that was a great blitz. And unfortunately, Cousins escaped and he was able to get a first down there. But like, that was really the only time their quarterbacks felt pressure all game. And I just thought that was really concerning and disappointing to me, because you're without Rankins. And so now, like, you're just asking yourself, like, if Davenport's going to have a bad game and it's really just Cam Jordan, like, what, you know, I don't feel great about losing Alex Okafor.
I will say this about you, UDFA son, Andrew. Granderson has had a better Saints career in jail than Paul Kruger had on the field. Because at least Granderson isn't stealing the Saints' money like Kruger did. So I'll give him that. But, I mean, the thing is, Andrew,
Paul Kruger is going to make his uncle visit you in your dreams tonight.
The thing is, I wish I had a soundbite. I wish I had a Elm Street soundbite, but I don't. The thing is with the Saints is you can fix, if you know, their offensive line is deep, but you can go out and get a guard. You can fish around and get a linebacker. They did it with Shanley way back in the day. Or what was the one they got from San Francisco? Paris Harrelson. You can go out and get a linebacker. You can even go out and find a corner off the trash heap sometimes and stumble into him and it can be okay. Man, pass rush, there ain't...
Wait. You just said they can go get somebody like Scott Shanley or Paris Harrelson. None of that worked out.
Harrelson was all right. Like, you can go out and get like a patch and it cannot be... It cannot be an utter disaster.
Sterling Moore was an example of he wasn't patch. Great, but he was okay.
Wait. Get a patch. Scott Shanley was the starting weak side linebacker for like 4 years.
That's what I'm saying.
He wasn't a patch. He was a starting linebacker.
Well, that was just because the Saints were incompetent at finding it. He was like, what's that stuff What's that stuff that they said? He was like Flex Seal, man. He was like Flex Seal. You spray it at the bottom of the boat, and they couldn't afford anything better, so they just hoped that it worked out and the boat didn't sink. And it kind of worked out okay. But my point is, you can do that at a bunch of positions, Dave. You cannot do that at pass rush. Like, either the Saints' pass rush is either going to get good with the people they have or it's going to stink, and there's no fixing it. You're not going to trade for a guy. You're not going to find a guy off the scrap heap. Like, the pass rush, it's got to get better with the guys they have.
We're going to have to hope that Cam Jordan just makes everybody around him better, which he usually does. But, you know, my main thing is – I also don't want to this is one of those games where you just throw it out. Like, it was so bad defensively that you just have to say, you know what? Like, everyone was terrible. The Saints have a lot to work on, and Dennis Allen needs to be pulling overtime, and all these players need to be paying attention in the film room, and they need to come out next week and play with more urgency and intensity, because that was pathetic.
Andrew Platt asked, Granderson got $60,000 bonus for this to play for the Saints in jail. Here's a question for you. Andrew, if I offered you $60,000, but you had to stay in jail for 2 months, would you do it?
No.
No. Dave, $60,000, but you have to be in jail for 2 months.
Let me ask you a question. Is the 60 grand, do I get taxed on that after? Or do I get that free
and clear? It's a garbage bag of 20s.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I could do that. I could do that standing on my head.
Do you get conjugal visits?
Do you get conjugal visits? That's a good question. I don't even care about the conjugal visits. I'm still doing it anyway. But tell me, do I get conjugal visits? Because that just makes it even easier.
Yeah, you probably do. I'll give you conjugal visits.
Well, even better. Awesome.
You get conjugal visits.
Can I stay for 3 months?
You get conjugal visits, but they take out the FICA taxes out of the 60K.
Oh, no, fuck that. No. No taxes.
I don't know. I also think Curtis Granderson in jail probably can take care of himself a little better than Dave Cariello. I'm just saying.
Maybe. I don't know. Dave grew up in the mean streets of
Hempstead, New York.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I mean, do you know? I mean, Dave's in the college campus swag business. That's like the hard streets, man. They don't fool around. Right? I mean, it's like mobbed up, right?
Yeah.
Dave's going to get conjugated. That's from Tom Stewart.
Is that a word? Can you use it in that manner? Conjugated?
I don't know, but I liked it. So, Dave, before we continue with people in the chat rooms with questions and opinions,
I can confirm that conjugated is a word.
Tell the people if they want to buy tickets to the Saints' next preseason home game, how they should do it.
Well, I'd like to take a minute to introduce our newest friends from SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you. Their app scans the web for the best deals to your favorite game, concert, or show, and rates them on a scale of 0 to 10 to let you know if you are getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot marks great deals, a yellow dot is good deals, and a red dot means not so good deals. Use promo code ACAA at checkout to receive $20 off your first purchase. That's two free beers at the stadium on them. So what are you waiting for? That's promo code ACAA for $20 off the first purchase. SeatGeek. Life's an event. We have the tickets.
I feel like Dave is hammered out of his mind, and he's looking at his cell phone reading the ads, and it's blurry and it's shaking. And in spite of that, he's still better than me. I hate you.
I can't even tell you how fucking dead on balls accurate you are about that whole situation right there. I mean, that you are like fucking Nostradamus.
Is that a technical term?
Yeah. It's dead on. Imagine you're a deer, okay? And you see a creek, and you put your little deer lips to the creek, and bam!
Your blue water.
It hits you right between the eyes. Now I ask you, do you give a shit what kind of fucking pants the guy who shot you was wearing?
That's pretty good.
It is.
The two youths.
My wife is. I mean,
we're so old. I wonder how many people in the chat room got that. But here's a question for you. For both of you, but I'll start with you, Dave. If the Saints are going to make a sort of panic, oh my God, they did what? That's kind of interesting. And me and Andrew have to do a podcast and play this. Play this during the week.
I know
because
what it is. I know what it is. They would trade for Antonio Brown's helmet. That's what it is. I got it.
Wait, so they're making a deal with the Steelers then?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They got his helmet, and they're going to use that to entice Antonio Brown to come to New Orleans.
I want to say,
to play alongside MT.
100% on the trade for Antonio Brown for the Saints because I wanted the fucking circus to come to the Saints, and I I was.
And now you realize he's seriously bipolar. He may literally be bipolar.
But he got his feet. He got frostbite in cryotherapy?
Oh,
fever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is good.
Andrew,
this is good, too.
Andrew, you have back issues, and you are you care about your physical fitness and appearance, unlike the rest of us on this show. So you know what that involves. Explain to the people how the fuck you get frostbitten on your feet in cryotherapy. Like, what has to happen?
Well, you can only be in it for 3 minutes. So, yeah. But the thing about cryotherapy...
He was in there for four.
Yeah, but the thing about cryotherapy, it's like the oldest trick. Like, everyone knows you cover your extremities when you go in there. Like, you wear socks, gloves.
I didn't know that, but also, I don't go to cryotherapy.
Well,
so
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. Everyone that does cryotherapy
What's the point? What's the theory?
You go in a chamber, and it's like sub-zero temperatures. Like, it's like negative 100 degrees or whatever. And you basically, like... Basically, all the heat in your body goes to your core, like, to just preserve your organs. And so the rest of your body, I mean, it's just like – it's like doing an ice bath, but you do it – it's like speeds up the process. And it's just cold air that's being shot on you. It's like hydrogen or nitrogen or whatever, but, like, it's cold air. But, like, it's not that uncomfortable because it's only for 3 minutes. So, like, you know, like, if you've ever tried an ice bath, like, it's horrible. Like, it's miserable and it stings your skin. And, like, cryotherapy is a lot more comfortable. And you just do it for 3 minutes and you're out of there. And, you know, the benefits are supposed to be the same as doing, like, 20 minutes in an ice bath. So most teams have a chamber, I think, in their facilities. I think the Saints do. But, yeah, I mean, like, apparently he fell asleep in there or something. But, like, it's just mind-blowing to me.
John Gruden said it wasn't his fault. John Gruden was like, it's not his fault. You know, people are making fun of him, giving him problems, but it's not his fault.
He's an idiot.
His feet look like he tried to cook them.
Like, yes. They look nasty.
It's going to be a good episode of
Hard Knocks.
Of Hard Knocks on Tuesday, for sure.
With the Hard Knocks and the Raiders is fucking amazing.
I did enjoy the head, shoulders, knees, and toes jokes on Twitter, though. Because, you know, head for helmet and toes. Anyway.
But, yeah. So, but that aside, if I said to you the Saints are going to make a move at a certain position, either via trade or signing another washed up vet,
I just don't think it's going to be. I don't think it would be a pass rusher, just because.
Do you think it would be receiver?
Teams don't give up pass rushers.
No, no.
You know, like, you're not going to find one. Like, it's not like I don't know, the Bears are going to be like, oh yeah, give us a first, we'll give you Khalil Mack. Like, you know, that's not going to happen. So, yeah, honestly, if I had to guess the position that the Saints would try to upgrade at some point, it would be linebacker, just because I think, like, you can actually get linebackers, because most teams, like, only really play two these days. So there's probably some pretty good linebackers out there that'll get cut. And I just think the linebacker depth is clearly awful. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I missed Manti Te'o. I thought the linebacker play for the Saints was abysmal in that game. The backups were even worse than the starters. But
Andrew had like a 5-tech string of sent to me on Friday about how much he misses Manti Te'o. I am not lying. When Andrew says he misses Manti Te'o, he's not just saying it in passing. Like, he put a lot of thought into it, and he is deeply concerned. Like, but Andrew, I would say to you, Manti Te'o hasn't signed with anybody, so he's kind of quasi still on the Saints.
He might be back at this point. Seriously, like that. Yeah, it was so bad.
He's like 10 seconds away from getting signed.
Yeah.
If Manti Te'o signs tomorrow morning, Andrew, I will just play the Hallelujah chorus to open the breaking news podcast. I won't even do breaking news. Yeah. It'll just be Hallelujah.
I don't think, like, they'll trade for a big name, but, like, I could see them giving up a 7th-round pick and just being like, all right, you know, we've got Craig Robertson, who's like our special teams linebacker, and maybe he can play in a pinch, but we don't really have a second backup that we trust. And I think earlier in the season I may have said offensive line or receiver are positions where they can't afford an injury. Man, it's linebacker for me right now. Like, if something happens to Anzalone or DeMario Davis, they're in huge trouble. Ralph, did you mute yourself?
I think he might have. I think he might have. While we all wait for him. Yeah, you muted yourself.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah, we all heard it. We all heard it. You didn't hear it. We all heard it.
No. So, no. I think that's true with the linebacker situation. But, geez, you know, I just have to wonder, like, are they satisfied with what they have at receiver? I just look at it and I'm like, you know, because, man, if something happened.
Wait. Are they satisfied with what they have at receiver? Did you see Lil Jordan?
I did.
Did you see my little man, Lil Jordan?
Over under 65 catches for Lil Jordan.
Over 65. I'm thinking 90 catches, 1,300 yards.
Oh, I was going to say 91 catches, so I guess you're picking the under, huh, Dave?
Well, no, he said the under was 65, so I'm thinking over.
Well, I mean, as we go into this, as we go into the next preseason game, is there anybody that you look at the roster, Andrew, that you're like, this person better start rocking it now?
Oh, I have one.
Go first, Dave.
Don't say Davenport, because that's my answer, and he asked.
No, I'm not going to say Davenport. I'm going to say the same person that Ralph was going to say last week, and I stole it, Traquan Smith. I mean, seriously, like, this the dude's got a – I would really love to see him step up and do something and flash a little something, because he's supposed to be the one that's supposed to do it. And so if he doesn't do it, then I would really like to see, you know, more from my boy Lil Jordan. Like, I'd like to see some consistency, something where we can say, okay, he's not just a flash in the pan. He didn't just have this. He had two catches, I think, on Friday. But you know, he's not just these two catches on Friday. He's more than that. He can do something more than that. Either that, or Emmanuel Butler needs to get his ass in the game, and he needs to be playing, and he needs to show us what he in a game what he's been doing in practice.
But if the Saints keep five receivers right now, who are the five you're keeping, Dave?
I mean, here's the problem. I'm going to name these people, and I'm not going to be excited about you know, these five people. I mean, I'm just not confident.
All right, well, let's talk about that.
But I mean, obviously, MT and
Ginn.
Ginn. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's who's after that?
You got Kirkwood, you got Traquan. Are they both making the team?
I don't. These are all. Jesus. I mean, these are. I mean, I honestly, I feel like Kirkwood has proven more. You know, as far as if we're talking about late last season, Kirkwood really came on late last season, and in the playoffs. So honestly, I think Kirkwood is ahead of. Could potentially be ahead of Traquan at this point. So, yeah, so those are your three and four guys, and that's not – I don't feel good about that.
Yeah.
Dave,
and then after that, you got Little Jordan, you got Emmanuel Butler, you got Austin Carr.
Yeah.
None of those are wide
open. I mean, so if Lil Jordan has another good game or puts together a couple of nice catches or does something spectacular like he did on Friday, I mean, I don't know how you don't put him number three.
You know, the interesting thing that I also saw, Andrew, and I know this is going to make a lot of people mad in the chat room and maybe on Twitter, is Taysom Hill. I love him, but I didn't see anything better from him throwing the ball. And it's not that I don't think the Saints will do – they'll still do awesome and fun stuff with him, but, like, he's still trash throwing the ball. And, like, I don't see – them
Ralph,
running.
What, How did you, when you watched the game, what station was it on or whatever? Who were the, do you get Stinchcomb and Vilma?
I got Stinchcomb and I got Jonathan Vilma. Yeah. By the way, yeah. Jonathan Vilma was amazing.
So that's what I was going to say. So I, one of the interesting things that, and so Andrew probably, unless he watched the replay of the game.
I did.
Okay. So he might have heard this also, but I mean, like Vilma was talking about, Taysom, and he referred to him as a half field quarterback, and he was kind of calling him out in a way, really saying, you know, he's a guy, he only looks one direction, you know, he'll look to the right or whatever, and if he doesn't see anybody toward the right, he never really looks to the left side of the field, and he just kind of tucks and runs. And I mean, you know, it's great because Taysom is great at tucking and running, and he's great at finding the holes and finding the openings. But I mean, just from, you know, if you're looking at everything through the Drew Brees window, and you've got a problem with Teddy Bridgewater because Teddy Bridgewater isn't Drew Brees, well, then you've got a real problem with Taysom Hill as far as a in the pocket, stand up, throwing the ball quarterback. He's never going to be like that. You know,
you make a great point, Dave. I totally agree with you. Yeah. But I think the uneducated fan will still like Taysom because he does something better than Brees can.
You know? I like the running. I like the running, and it was yeah. effective. And but it's just, I don't know if that's the long term.
It's not. You know, it's not
we've
sustainable.
We've seen this happen with Griffin, and you know, and
you're not going to last 8 weeks. You're not going to last 6 weeks playing like that.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's not sustainable.
Well,
you can't invest money in a quarterback that plays like that.
Well, that's true. But my question to you guys is, do you think it will decrease the fun factor for Sean Payton? That's my only concern. If Taysom plays, like, if he has to play meaningful snaps at quarterback, just hook up an IV of bourbon and I need cocaine to get me through. But, like, does it decrease the playbook of fun?
Taysom has a shitload of talent and natural ability and raw ability. And, like, it's not that he's can't throw a fucking dime, but he's just not going to be consistent about it. And so it's totally possible you could throw Taysom in there at any point in the game. And I mean, if it's not a running play or a keep play where he's running the ball or whatever, and if it's a play where he's actually supposed to be throwing it, it's 50-50, but I mean, he has the ability to throw a really great pass, but he also has the ability to, and like we saw on Friday, there was that one thing like a bootleg or whatever, trying to throw to somebody in the flat who was wide open. I forget who it was. And he just
missed him by a country mile. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just a total basic. There was no reason for him to not be able to throw that pass and hit him. And that's what you get with Taysom. You're not guaranteed to get that throw, but he has the ability to do it. But just the consistency is, you know, I don't know. You can't trust him.
I like Taysom. I'm glad he's on the team. But, yeah, I mean, I go back to what Dave said. Like, if you have a problem with Bridgewater, then it makes no sense that you would talk up
Taysom. Going back to the top of the show, to the very first thing we talked about, if you have a problem with Bridgewater and you don't have a problem with Taysom, yeah, you might be a racist.
It'd be like a good Saturday Night Live skit, like ESPN's "You Might Be a Racist."
Going back to your original question, Ralph, of who needs to step up, for me, it's Davenport, unquestionably. He looked like garbage in that game. I'm willing to overlook it because, again, everyone on defense looked like garbage, but, you know, he's definitely my answer. I don't know what it is about Sean Payton in preseason games, but like the Saints, that's another reason why I'm kind of willing to write this off a little bit. The Saints kind of always look awful in preseason.
They do. Yeah. And I mean, really the only time that they've looked really good in preseason, you can argue, is they looked really, really good in 2009. And the defense looked really, really good in 2017. The rest of the time, they've kind of looked a mess, including Drew Brees in 2006, where he looked like a fucking disaster in August of 06. So that's a fair point. And it's like you say, Andrew, did they have anybody get injured? No, it was a success. And you know?
Yeah, totally.
So this has been our special Sunday night edition. Thanks to everybody in the chat room.
Thanks for humoring me tonight since I was going to be busy tomorrow. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, no, we got to have – well, the thing is, we got to have three of us for the podcast to really go. And it's awesome when we get all four and Kevin can dean us worthy to join in. But we got to have three. If we're missing the – it's like Voltron, you know. You got to have all the parts. But if we don't have at least three of us,
my son is really into Voltron, so he would just really appreciate it.
It just doesn't quite go. And it doesn't have the same juice if we don't have at least three of us. So when you said, "Hey, I gotta go, can we go on Sunday?" I was like, "Yeah, we can go because we gotta have at least three of us." So that wraps up today's show. Hey, everybody. If you're in the chat room and you're listening for free, pay $7. You get a koozie, you get a magnet, you get the access to the daily podcast. It's amazing. When Saints have breaking news, our podcast is going to be fucking first on it. Subscribe and pay $7. If you pay $10, you get all that cool stuff I just mentioned, and you get Andrew's grades. So you should do it. Subscribe. It's awesome. And we're $150 away to where we get we get $1,000 a month in support from you guys. Me and Andrew are doing a Friday gambling, drinking, fantasy football show live stream every Friday during the football season. So become a patron. Help us get there. It's awesome. We love you guys. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, who's MIA, until next week, the bar is closed.